It was quite an experience. I saw quite a bit. I learned quite a bit. And I said to myself, it's very, very nice. I'm never going back again. I'm not going to repeat this again, but it was definitely quite an experience to see. But what is it really all about? It's all about a shift. A shift where you advance. You advance from just doing mitzvahs on a very simple, basic level to doing mitzvahs with an appreciation of the reason for the mitzvahs and the inner workings of the mitzvah in a spiritual level. And I guess people have a thirst to understand. We live in a dar dea. Today, if you can put a man on the moon, if you can launch a Hubble telescope and you can see the secrets that are millions and millions of miles away in the mind of a person, if you can do things like that physically, if you can go and you can connect, to have technology where you can connect to every person all over the world in an instant, just the fact that we're here today in Zoom with people over here from all over the place, and it's like nothing. So the attitude is, when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, why should it be any different? Why should we just do a mitzvah? You take a little of an esrog and you shake it. It's not fair. If I can get on a plane and be in the other end of the world in a matter of hours, if I can go on Zoom and I can see things that our ancestors wouldn't even dream were possible, if we can do things in the physical world that are just mind-boggling, lama nigara, why should Torah and mitzvahs be any different than what we have? That's what I was trying to come to point. These two, they go together. There are only 3 days in between Lag BaOmer and Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is on the 15th day, and Lag BaOmer is on the 18th day. 3 days. Lag BaOmer is basically the Lama Nigora of Torah U'Mitzvahs. And that's why it's such a craze. That's what I'm trying. That was the idea that I'm trying to get to. Just like, let me clarify. What is Pesach Sheni all about? It says in the Torah, there were a couple of people, there were stragglers. There were a couple of people that were unable to offer the Karban Pesach because they were Tamei. So they come to Moshe. Moshe, it's not fair. Everyone else, equal opportunity. No child left behind. Like America, low carbon. No, this is really. I really think it's a concern to me that Pesach Sheni is the holiday of America. Which really, if you had to decide what day of the year should we celebrate our freedom in America, it should be on Pesach Sheni. Because what is America all about? Equal opportunity. That's what it's all about. Lama Nigara. If we were living 100 years ago, you don't have an opportunity. You behave yourself, or else someone will come and just wipe you off. In America, anyone can be the president. Lama Nigara. That concept of America really is in the Torah. Pesach Sheni is where people came forward and said to Moshe, we're Tomei. Discrimination. This is discrimination. We did nothing wrong to be Tomei. Lama Nigara. Why can't we also bring the Karban Pesach? You're right. Hashem said, you're right. For you, we're going to make a special holiday, Pesach Sheni.
I prefer Pesach 2.0.
Pesach 2.0. But it's more than just Pesach Sheni. It's the middle of the month, Pesach Sheni. It's the center of the month. And the pulse that radiates from the center of Chodesh Iyar is Lama Nigara, Lama Nigara, Lama Nigara. When you have Lama Nigara, it affects everything about you. I was once by a meal not that long ago on Shabbos afternoon, and a fellow had there a very, very, it was a very fancy meal. I don't even know what all the stuff he had there, really over the top. And he had a bottle of wine that supposedly cost an enormous amount of money. And he wanted to serve it. And there was a Rav there. I don't know what he was doing. I know, whatever. He was there, this Rav, whatever. And the problem was there was some writing on the corkscrew. So he asked the Rav, is it permitted for me to open up the bottle? So the Rav said to him, I'll tell you the truth. There are grounds to be lenient. I spelled out all the grounds, why he couldn't be lenient. But on the other hand, he told me, you should know, there are other opinions that hold that it's not the right thing to do. And if you want to know the technical halacha, you can be lenient. But I feel I should say the following to you. You're sitting here at this meal. You have the best of everything. The food here is exotic, exquisite, second to none. You have here plenty of wine that's also on a very high level. My suggestion to you is to appreciate that just like in the world of Gashmias, you want the best and you are blessed to have the best. In Ruchnias, there are times when you should strive for the best. And technically, if you really want to open the bottle, you can. But it would be an honor for Hashem and an honor for Shabbos for you not to open this bottle now. You have plenty of wine here. There's no problem here. Plenty what to drink. High quality. You want to go up one more notch, L'chavod Shabbos? I really feel that in this instance, just like the food is the best, your ruchnius should be the best. And in this instance, you should strive to be machmir, not to open the bottle of wine. This is what he said. I was listening. The fellow who was there, he told me this past Shabbos, that comment that Rav made is echoing in his head for the last few weeks. And everything that he does, he cannot get out of his mind what he said to him. If Hashem bless me to have this gashmis, lama nigara? Why should my ruchnis be any different? We live in a world today where science has advanced to such an incredible degree where we know everything. We don't know everything. We don't know why corona happened. We don't know how it spreads. We don't know how the cure. We don't know everything. But we live in a world where we have a taste of what it means to have clarity, have knowledge, revelation of the secrets that our ancestors couldn't begin to fathom. We discussed last week with bugs, the issue of bugs. You don't find one word in the poskim about checking for bugs for 700, 800 years. There's not one single word about you have to check your vegetables for bugs, toloim. If you eat a piece of lettuce and you don't wash it, it can be over on 100 loisaseis. Really? That's what they tell you today? They tell you in every little container of strawberries, between 50 and 300 bugs. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even see one bug. Are you telling me there are 300 bugs in this container of strawberries? I don't know what you're talking about. And our ancestors, they didn't know from this. They ate the strawberries without even blinking. What are you talking about? So we discussed last week. You're right. The bottom line is, you're right. If you want to eat the strawberries, no one's going to blame you. You're not chas v'sholem to say you're over on even one avera. Chas v'sholem. You know, if you don't see this, you don't see the bugs, there are no bugs. And there's no timtum halev. If you're not, there's no isser, then there's no timtum halev. It's mutter. So why are we crazy today? And I say, crazy, why? Because today, we live in a new world, and we have technology, and we know there are 300 bugs, do we, whatever, 50, 300 bugs, and if I'll take the bugs, I'll take the container, and I'll soak it in water, and add some ingredients, and give a little swoosh, and then drain it, and put a cheesecloth, you will be able to see 300 bugs. Wow. But when I look at it without this technique, I don't see anything. That's right. So if you don't want to check and you eat strawberries, you have not done anything wrong. Yet today, the cashless organizations are different. not to chas v'shalom insult our ancestors. It's because today we're given technology. We have technology, we have this, we have that. So it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to give honor to Hashem, to go the extra mile. Because we have knowledge. We have knowledge that they never had in previous generations. The ability to do things scientifically that are just beyond belief. Thus, lomo nigora. Lomo nigora. It's the same attitude. If, just like the people who were Tomei, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, if they had an opportunity to bring a Korban Pesach, why should I be denied? When you live in a world where everything is defined under a microscope and everything makes sense and there's knowledge and there's the ability to manipulate and do incredible things, so then when it comes to your religious service, lama nigara! Lama nigara! I also want to understand that when I shake the lulav and esrog, I want to understand what is happening in the other worlds. Now, obviously, not everything is, every person even wants to know, needs to know what's happening in the other worlds, but to each person on their level, there's a little curiosity, there's a little desire. Lama nigara. If when it comes to my cup of coffee, the technology that I can utilize is just mind-boggling, so why when it comes to my esroig should it be any different? Lama nigara. And that is the Sisrei Torah. It's not a coincidence that Lag BaOmer and Pesach Sheni are 3 days apart. Okay, 3 days. 3 days represents a chachibur. 3 days is usually a time period of the traveling. These are 3 days. It's almost like a chibur. The number three. 3 days is a chibur. It pulsates.
I'm sorry. It's 4 days.
4 days. 4 days. Okay. So it's after 3 days. You have to redefine the drush.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about? Rab Baruch, you don't need to be sorry. Just don't confuse me with the facts. It's good. It's not a coincidence that the key events, the key moments of Chodesh Iyar, are these two events. The Pnimius of the Chodesh is the center of the month. The center of the month is an incredible koyach of Lama Nigara. I told you, America, it's an incredible concept to be able not, and that expands throughout the whole month, and to a degree, you cannot deny that that is what the Zohar is all about. The Chodesh Iyar is the Chodesh of Lag BaOmer, which is the primary theme of Lag BaOmer. I don't know if it's so much the yard site of Rashmi, but the celebration of Lag BaOmer is a celebration of a blessing of where we've been given. Hashem gave us a taste of understanding the inner workings of the mitzvahs. And that's a relatively new thing. And it really very much connects with the theme of Lama Nigara. These two ideas go together. Now, Chodesh Iyar is also about, it's about the Svira. Okay, you can't ignore that. That's a very important thing. It's also the primary Sefira is from the beginning of the Chodesh. Everyone, whether you observe the first Minhag or the second Minhag, there are no weddings from starting tomorrow, right? Maybe even today. What are the Minhag? I don't even remember the Minhag. I think starting tonight. Last night there were weddings. I don't know. Last night there are weddings, because last night is still the 20th, is the 30th day of Nisan. But starting tonight, you're not going to really find, maybe they start a little early. They had Hatem, you start early in the afternoon before sunset, you can go into the night, because some hold that you can really have a wedding tomorrow also. But most people today, most people in our Minhag, most Minhagim are, they do not permit weddings on Aleph Iyar. Not everyone, but most Aleph Iyar. It's the primary zman to focus on the betira of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva also, you should appreciate, we have to appreciate, Rabbi Akiva was doyresh the kisrei oisiyos. It's not a coincidence with the two, the Lomani Gora and the Zoyar. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to take the Torah, to be given the Torah, so he arrives in Shemayim, the scene is, Hashem was, Moshe, I'm a little bit busy now, you came here not at a good time, can you please just take a seat in the waiting room? I'm busy. What are you busy with? I have to tie the crowns to the letters of the Aleph Beis. What? The Aleph Beis have crowns? What are you talking about? Crowns, there are crowns on the Aleph Beis. What's this? Yes, yes, yes. There's going to be a person. His name is Akiva ben Yosef. Is that correct, Akiva ben Yosef? That was his name, Akiva? Akiva ben Yosef. Who the day will come and he will expound tal talim shel halacha on every single crown. What? What are you talking about? Take a seat. He sat down and Hashem showed him, so like science fiction movie, the future. He showed him the future. He sat in the shir. He saw Rabbi Akiva darshening, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand a single word that he said. And Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalisha Sadas. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have such a person that can give these brilliant shiurim. And by the way, the Talmidim, they fell asleep also during the shiur. Can you imagine? Moshe Rabbeinu was said about this person that is the most, he should be given the Torah. What did he see in that shiur? He saw in that shiur that they were all sleeping. It was boring. And he had to wake them up and say to them, why did Esther Malka rule over 127 provinces? It's because her the patriarch, Sarimenu, she lived 127 years. Could you imagine? So the person, can you imagine the person who was, the person who Moshe says should, the Torah should be given, he would not even get one visitor on Torah any time because he was too boring. He wasn't charismatic and dynamic like Liberace. Remember Liberace? Remember the joke about Liberace? He's as dynamic as a dead Liberace. You ever heard that before? In my day, back in the day, there was a guy, as a Meshuggah, named Liberace. Remember Liberace? He used to wear these colorful costumes. So they said about him, he's charismatic. And when they wanted to say a person is so boring, he's boring, they would say he is dynamic as a dead Liberace. Okay? A dead Liberace will not get any visitors into her anytime. Rabbi Akiva doesn't seem, he was very charismatic because he all fell asleep during his shir. And he had to wake up the Talmidim. And this person, Moshe says, it should be him to whom you give the Torah. And Hashem said, no, listen carefully to the shir. And at the end of the shir, what did he say? Everything is halacha l'moshe misinai. All comes back to Moshe. Whatever that means, it means. But the point is, Rabbi Akiva was darshening the tagin, the crowns on the letters. Excuse me, what is all that about? The crowns. It's all about the Sisrei Torah. You have a letter, and the letter has a crown. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, the end of Masechet, the middle towards the end, I think Daf Tzadi there, somewhere in that area, talks about the letters, and the Gemara expounds on the shape of the letters, and why this letter has a crown, and this doesn't have a crown, and where the crown is. The crowns on the letters of the Aleph Beis is like a Zohar. This is just the same, it's the same mold. It's the Sisrei, it's under the hood. It is the inner workings. It is the dynamics, the hidden dynamics of the Torah in the most elementary form, because you're dealing with the Aleph Beis. The building blocks of the Torah also have built into them secrets to explain the way they work, how they interconnect, and what it's all about. Moshe had no clue. That's not his thing. That's not his thing. But the day will come when the world will be ready for this. The world will then come to a point where we've matured. The world has observed the mitzvahs for generations, and now the time will come. Lama nigora. If technology has advanced, where the physical world is understood, science is in a different league. Lama nigara? Why should the Torah remain just, you know, simple? Let's understand the depth behind the Torah. Who excelled in this? Who was the first one to do this? Rabbi Akiva. The Kisrei Oseyos. And what happened during this month? His Talmidim died. Rabbi Akiva produced Talmidim in his image. That's what a Rabbi does. He produced Talmidim who were would reveal whose derech was like Rabbi Akiva to be doyresh the Kisrei Oseyos, to reveal the secrets of the world. And what happened to them? They died. Tragedy. Because lo nohagu kavod ze lo ze. Why do we mourn for them? Get over with it. You know, this is Avelus Yeshana. I mean, come on, 2,000 years ago. Don't you think it's time to move on already? Move on! No, because their petira fits 100% into Lama, Nigara, and Lag Ba'omer. Rabbi Akiva, again, remember, he was the one who was Doirish to Kisri Oisios. He, when the Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu was shown Rabbi Akiva. And he said to Hashem, I don't understand what he's talking about. That's right, Moshe, it's not your role, it's not your purpose to understand this. Moshe taught Torah basic to a nation that was young, immature. They were just beginning to develop the basic halachas. You take a lulav and an esrog and you shake it, and that's it. Not more complicated than that. You don't have to understand what it's all about. Just you take it, and that's the mitzvah. But it comes a point in time when you get older and you mature, and now you want to understand the inner workings of the lulav and the esrog. You understand the inner, understand what it's all about. What are all the different parts? Why their hair is coming out? Egel, why this? Why that? I mean, it's every single mitzvah is infinite. And who's the one that develops this? The Zohar. Who was the one, the forerunner? Who was the predecessor? It was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the Zohar. He's the makor of the Zohar because he's the one that's darshing the Kisrei Oseyos. So in this month. In this month particularly, which is a month of Lama Nigara, which overflows into a yearning, why should Torah be any different than science? And then we come and we look, who can be our leader in advancing? Rabbi Akiva, because he was the first. And Rabbi Akiva, indeed, he tried to help us by producing 24,000 Talmidim in his image. And guess what? They're gone. That's very sad. That hits home. And that's why we have to mourn. Because it's a problem. Look what we lost out on. The timing is uncanny. It's because this month they died. In the month of Lama Nigara, which overflows to a desire to understand the inner workings of the Torah, and Rabbi Akiva was the one who invented, who was the one who created this. That's right. It's very painful. And it's very painful. You have to connect with his tsar and with the tsar of the loss of Klal Yisrael, who lost out on our ability. It's an expression of tsar of Lama Nigara. That's the point. When you mourn for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, what are you really mourning for? You're mourning over the pain of Lama Nigara. The penimius of Iyar is Lama Nigara. And because the Talmide Rabbi Akiva passed away, we know we're not going to be able to fulfill the void of Lama Nigara. Okay, the simple case of Hashem says to Moshe, good, they want Pesach. But you're going to have Pesach Sheni.
But then someday...
The Trias HaMesim, someday, right, someday, that's Kabbalistic thing, someday in the future. But the mourning is an expression of Tsar over our acknowledgement that we want Laman Nigora and we'll never get it. At least now, at least right now in the way we have it. We lost that. It was there for us in a silver platter. Rabbi Akiva, he expanded his ability by producing these Talmidim, and they died. So that means we're going to scream the holy Lama Nigara, and we're going to get nothing. And that's why we are in so much pain. So it's all part of the same. All of these three ideas, they all work in sync. They all work in sync. It's the Chodesh of Avelus for Talmid Rabbi Akiva. It's the revelation of the Sisrei HaTorah, but it's all really rooted in a yearning of Lama Nigara, and not just to limit that to Korban Pesach being Tamei. It's a yearning that a person has in life. Why should I be different? If this fellow is a millionaire, why can't I have that kind of money? It's a general yearning. And in a much higher level, not in a joking level, if in the world there is advancement, why should Torah remain behind in a state of simplicity? The world has advanced. Certainly, the Torah that is the blueprint of the world has to go much, much higher. And all of these ideas, they come into play in this matter. Okay, so that is just a basic overview to Chodesh Iyar, and just generally, it's interesting, very big dilemma in Halacha. How do you spell Iyar? Two Yuds or one Yud? Anyone get married in Chodesh Iyar? Anyone to get married in Chodesh Iyar? So you look at your Ksuba and see if it says in the Ksuba it has one Yud or two Yuds. It's not so simple. I think the Minhag HaOlam is two Yuds. But technically, really only one Yud. It stands for, what is Iyar? The Darshanim, they like to tell you, they probably show a lot of these things on stickers. Ani Hashem Roifecha. I am Hashem, your healer. Roifecha. To heal. Okay, and alright, so this is that's Iyar. Okay, that's the basic idea. These are some basic ideas. Right? Now that's Chodesh. Let's now just for a few minutes, let's discuss something about the parasha. I want